Thank you. This is always a wonderful experience to spend time worshiping the Lord through song. And so thank you. Thank you all for the ways that you share your gifts with us. As Tristan said, I am not going to preach today. I do want to frame our time a little bit as we were kind of talking about the service this week with Carlton, particularly because I think our current series of This We Believe is important. I didn't want to try to abbreviate the message, and I didn't want to overly take away from the time that our guests will have to share with us this morning. I wanted them to be able to kind of share at their own pace and as the Spirit led. And so we thought it better to not try to squeeze both into our time together today. So first and foremost, there are a couple scriptures that frame our afternoon, our morning. The first one is found in Levi chapter 19, verses 33 through 34, where it says, "Do not take advantage of foreigners who live among you in your land. Treat them like native-born Israelites and love them as you love yourself." The second scripture is found in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18, where it says, "He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing." And both of these scriptures kind of came to my heart as I was thinking about, just some of our, even our work with Open Arms. But as we kind of start to expand that conversation to consider what role our church has in caring for the foreigner, for those who are immigrants, those who are migrants, and those who are refugees. The Bible speaks to our call as a church to love them as we love ourselves, to help them, to support them, to clothe, to food, to treat them as our own. And I know that a lot of times when conversations about immigration and things of that nature come up, a lot of political stuff gets involved. We start talking about laws and, border control and things of that nature. And I'm just constantly reminded that, we are having conversations about people. People who have lives, people who have desires, people who bear the image of God. And though we come from different parts of the world, circumstances have led many groups of folks from around the world to seek refuge here in our country. And I'm often reminded that the root word of refugee is refuge, which is this word that speaks to seeking help, to seeking shelter, to seeking covering. We seek refuge in the Lord. We seek refuge in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the church is called to also be a place of refuge for those who are seeking the face of God, seeking the community of believers, seeking help. And so as we prepare to spend some time with Refugee One this afternoon, I want to just say thank you to Lucy, Sister Lucy Oliver, for just helping coordinate this. And thanks to our community engagement team, who was just actively, working and having conversations about, how do we actually live into our vision? How do we actually put hands and feet and resources to the needs in our community and world. And so as we prepare to invite our, and I keep saying guests, but our members of our congregation to share their different experiences and their testimony, for me, this is a sacred space and a sacred time. The willingness to share story is one that is not done with ease. Because so much of the stories that we share often contain both our joys and our pains, our discomforts, our past and our history, but also our desires for where we see God moving, how God has moved, and where we want to continue to see God move in our lives. And so just take this time as sacred time, as time that we hold these stories close to our hearts. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite, first we will hear from our sister Wendy, then we will hear from Jessica, who is one of the leaders of Open Arms, and she'll be coming up and sharing, helping share the story of Maryland. And then we'll hear from our brother EU, who will share, who will kind of end up our time. Did I say that? I got it. Okay. I want to, and so who will be coming and sharing his story with us. And I'm both excited to hear from them, and I'm also thankful to be a part of this moment. And so I invite you into a moment of prayer with me as we kind of move forward, and then you all can come up and share in that order. So Wendy, Jessica, and EU, and then just kind of share your heart's desires and take the time and the pace that you need. We are not overly, concerned about time. So just share as the Lord leads. Amen? All right, let's pray. Gracious and holy God, thank you for gathering us in this place. Lord, we are so open to the Holy Spirit and its leading. Lord, we are thankful for the ability to come to this place to worship, to sing songs, to hear scripture, and hear sermons, Lord, and thankful for the ability to hear story. But God, we are also weighted down with the burden to live into our call. And so, Lord, as opportunities come for us to take the stories that we hear and use them as a marching orders and use them as inspiration, Lord, we pray that you make those ways clear and that you give us all that we need to live into that. Lord, we do not take being the church as something light. Dear Lord, we know that there's a weight and a responsibility that it comes to as that comes with being a part of the Church of Christ, dear Lord. And so we just ask that you guide us, lead us, strengthen us, and open our hearts, our minds, and our ears today, dear Lord, because we know that as your image bearers come to share, that we are hearing just the ways that you have has been moving in their lives. And so we say thank you for this space and for this time. We lift it up to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Just bring the whole thing. Okay. What's good? All right, go ahead. You do you.
Is that right? Ooh, okay. Very touched to be invited to share a little bit this morning. But I must confess, I'm a person that's essentially on the outside looking in. Of course, being a refugee or immigrant is not part of my experience. But I've been meditating on that for the last few weeks. Lucy asked that I share a little bit of myself and Dan's origin. When I say outside looking in, my family, 1610 and 1755. But it's interesting, my family never forgot, and they emphasized that they left because of religious persecution. And they left because they were destitute and had no way of forming a life. So that still resonates with me. So as I gave some thought to it about how I'm going to write this down, I thought, well, you know, I see people read off their phones. I have a device, you know. Yeah. But I can't read the print. It's too small. They don't sell a handheld that has large print yet, not that I know of anyway. So then I called James Ross, who's our technology whiz, and I said, do you have a teleprompter? Do you have something? You know, our politicians use them. Can I use one? He said, no, NewCom doesn't have a teleprompter. I'm like, okay, I'm already on to plan C, okay? So then I thought, I know, I have a 1970s teleprompter. It's called the Campbell Steno book. There you go. And you cannot buy this on Amazon. I want you to know that. All kidding aside, my name is Wendy Radakovich, and my husband Dan and I have been members of New Community for 15 years. Hard to believe. And I want to, again, reiterate thanking Lucy Oliver, who responded from the heart, and she just, the Lord didn't let go of her, and she didn't let go of what he asked her to do. And she really persevered. And that woman has a lot of chutzpah, I'll tell you. So she approached Dr. Reverend Leslie Sanders and asked if we could have a little portion of the worship service. And really touched by that, because it is near and dear, I think, for all of us to be able to talk about the refugee and immigrant occurrence that's going on right here in our backyards, right here down our block, right here in Chicago. So I'm going to start with a question, and that is, when you learned and witnessed and saw that over 38,000 refugees and immigrants poured into Chicago the last 18 months or so, what was your response to that? Just take a moment to think about it. Were you confused? Did you lay a little blame? You know, politicians, they're good lightning rods. Do you feel a little guilty? Like you have compassion for it, but don't know what to do. Maybe angry, really angry at the injustices, the deep-seated just destitution of people that we're witnessing that are on our street corners. But I think one place many of us can agree on is that many or most of us have experienced a sense of helplessness, wondering what to do. Seems to be such an overwhelming confrontation on what can we do. And I meditated the last few weeks on a sermon point from Easter Sunday. And that was the third point, and I'll read it to you. Serving despite the circumstances positions us to see God's work. Serving despite the circumstances positions us for God's work. Three key words. Us see God. It's found in our mission statement. And I want to ask, it just speaks to me every week that I'm here, if we could repeat it again together, because you'll hear the words. They may sound different to you this time as we focus on refugee and immigration. So let's begin. I will start it. We seek to be a city within a city, an alternate Chicago that passionately loves Jesus Christ, intentionally engages in authentic community, and radically advances the cause of Jesus. And we hear those words in our mission statement. We, community, love Jesus. So I want to ask you to consider joining with us after the service today and hear more for what's going on right here in Chicago with Refugee One, wonderful nonprofit organization that's doing really good work. It's a time to learn, ask questions, and ask ourselves, how can I or how can we as a community support our new Chicagoans? Now, another area that's important to me is that many of the things that I've experienced in context have occurred right here in New Community Covenant. And mission and serving is not new here in this family. Open Arms Ministry was started on or before 2006. It's been ongoing all those years, week in and week out. They welcome guests experiencing homelessness. So many of the people we see experiencing homelessness are also refugee and immigrants, and they're beginning to serve those groups of people with fellowship, a warm place to land, good meal, clothes, Ventra cards, hygiene supplies, and many other things. And if you're interested, you're welcome to go to their website and learn more about it. One step at a time, that's how we can do. We do what we can. The second area opportunity through New Community was a Mexico mission trip taken in August of 2018. Dan and I had the joy of leading a group of 9 people. We went to Tetela del Volcan, and it was a town where families, their homes were devastated by the earthquake of 2017. And so we as a group went down there to help 2 extended families rebuild their homes. And my takeaway from that, and you'll have the opportunity to ask more people who also participated in that, but my takeaway was that God's family is everywhere, and God is at work, not just here, but in the wider scope, especially when I think about our neighbors in Mexico. So following a really hard labor week of mixing concrete, digging trenches, I didn't do any of that, but playing with children, breaking bread. Breaking bread meant the women of the family, extended families, would make over 200 fresh tortillas every day for the main meal for 25 people. At the close, one of the sons of the extended family spoke on behalf of the family. And he said, it's important to send money, and we really, really have appreciated it. It's so necessary. And then he said, but we didn't expect a group to come so far to work beside us. Our door is always open to you. You are like family. And I still kind of cry when I think about that. He meant it. Summer of 22, there were a group of 10 friends from here at New Community and the wider friendship ring, and they partnered with Refugee One to help the Jalila family who were moving or relocating from a refugee camp in the Middle East to right here in Chicago. And there were many aspects in how they were helped. But what I'd like to do is ask some of the people who have participated in some of these opportunities to stand up. Now, I did promise no clapping, so don't get me in trouble here. But I would like all of you to look around and see who is you're sitting nearby. And you're very welcome to come and ask them about their experiences and ask questions of them about what it was like. So I'd like to ask anybody who's volunteered with Open Arms Ministry to stand, please. I'd like to ask Jeff Horn and Dan Radakovich to stand up. They were part of the mission trip. And then for those who participated with Refugee One and the Jalila family, Sora Lim, and Matt and Tina Taube, and Laura and Pradeep Nair. And not to leave anyone out, I want to ask if there's anyone who has participated in some form by welcoming your new neighbors. Please stand. You remain standing so people have a chance to see who you are. So look at all the people. It's just amazing. We don't do it alone. We're not islands, we're not silos. We do it together. Thank you. Okay. I mean, really, if God is for us, who can be against us? So in closing, I want to mention another experience. It happened in January this year. Dan and I had the fun and joy of vacationing in Mexico City. And the Lord prompted me. I'm convinced of that because I heard it every day, to reconnect with the woman who is the Covenant Merge co-director for all of Mexico for the denomination. When groups from the U.S. and Canada want to come to Mexico to help serve in any capacity, Alejandra Ortiz is who you meet, and who, that's who we met. So I contacted her and said, let's get together for lunch, and I'd love to hear about what's new with you and your husband, Miguel. Both Alejandra and her husband, Miguel, are covenant pastors. They were educated here in Chicago. They have roots in Chicago. And they planted a church in Mexico City called Mission Covenant Church. It's a 9-year-old church. And that church family started a ministry called Esperanza Migrante, offering hope to migrants pouring through the nation of Mexico. So any churches, the opportunity is that any churches who have the desire and maybe the call from the Lord to go down and meet them will be educated by Alejandra and her husband, likely her husband Miguel, on the Latin American point of view of refugee work, refugees fleeing immigration, and those who move farther, if they don't establish themselves in Mexico, move farther and into the United States. I learned finally what Ale and Miguel hope for. They want to teach people from the Latin American context. They hope to connect with Chicago churches. There's things going on already. They hope a group from New Community might plan a trip to Mexico City, and then when they return, that they advance the cause of Jesus here in Chicago. So let us be determined, and by paraphrasing Pastor X's sermon again in Easter, let's be determined to serve him by serving our new neighbors, despite the challenges. Okay. And welcome, Jessica.
Hey, everyone. someone who's waving at me. My name is Iobia Mogus, and I'm here to share about my family's testimony. I want to say at the beginning, just I appreciate the privilege to be able to share. I consider the pulpit to be hallowed ground, and I don't take it lightly, and I appreciate the privilege to be able to share what the Lord did in my family's life. I'm mostly sharing the story of my mother and my brother who were leaving Ethiopia. And when I asked them if I could share this story, my mom said, "How can I keep what God did for me from God's people?" So she was eager for me to share with you all. my father had left Ethiopia as a refugee a few months earlier because of persecution. And so my mother and my brother were in Ethiopia, and they left, but they couldn't go straight to where my father was. He was in Canada, and they went to Italy because of visa issues. Arriving in Italy, my mom had just like a couple hundred dollars or Italian currency, and it was only enough for about 4 days stay in a hotel. So that's what she did. She got a hotel, and day after day, she just kind of kept extending it, and she was telling me the story about how the travel over there was stressful and tenuous, and whenever she got there, what she did was she got into the hotel room, she closed it, she locked it, and she just slept for 18 hours. And she had my 2-year-old brother, and she just put him aside. Anytime he woke up, she would comfort him, put him back to bed, and go back to bed herself. And that was how she spent the first 18 hours. And then after that, much of the next day was her caring for my brother, crying in prayer and petition to God for protection, and doing that cycle for a day and a half. And by the end of her third night, she was coming up to the very end of the resources that she had. She was continuing in prayer to the Lord and feeling like she was at her wit's end. And so what she decided to do was she felt like she needed to get out of the hotel room. So she put my brother to bed, she locked the door, and then she went walking down the streets of Rome, and she was crying, weeping, and then she stopped. She tells me that she stopped at this fountain. She sat and she wept at the fountain for 2 hours. And in that time, she was praying to God that he would answer, that he would come, or that he would show some sort of answer, that she would find a job, something that would be able to allow her to take care of my brother while she was there. And at some point, another man came along while she was crying and asked her what was wrong. And she started to share with him, learned that he was an Ethiopian man himself, and she was sharing, "Please, I'm here with my son, he's only 2 years old, and I don't have any more money. And he's at a hotel, and I need to find something to do." And he said, "Come back here in an hour with your son. I will meet you in front of this fountain." And that's what she did. She went, she brought my brother, she came back to the fountain. He was there, and he took her to this other hotel that the Catholic Church had purchased outright and was housing refugees from East Africa, from largely Ethiopia, because of what was happening in the country at the time. And when she was there, she wasn't clear what was happening, but whenever she was talking to them, they said that she could stay there indefinitely, and she would be able to stay there, she'd be able to stay in the hotel, and that there would be 3 square meals, and that she got a daily stipend of 100, or she got a daily stipend of 20 Italian currency, again, I don't know the currency. lira, thank you. I was gonna say euro, but I knew it was predated the euro. Thank you, lira. And that's where she lived. That's where she lived for the next 8 months. And in those 8 months, she had a home to stay in. She had her needs met. She had a house, she had a hotel that she stayed with my brother, safe with food, because of what God's people did. And whenever I look back at that story, I really just see God's hand through it all, but I see these two characters that are God's people. This man who found my mother and took her to the church. He took her, he said that he worked for the church, or that he worked with the church. He took her there, and whenever she had signed in and she'd gotten her time to stay there, she looked back to thank him, and he was gone. And some people hear that story, and they think this is like a supernatural interaction, that this is an angel. I don't know how the Lord moved, whether it is the God directly interacting as an angel, sending his angels, or whether this was a man like Boaz, someone who knew the word of the Lord and who was obedient to it. Someone who was eager to do what the Lord asked him in even a small way that he knew how. And then I see the church. I see the Catholic Church that was, it was God's people being God's people. It was people who knew who their Savior was and was obedient to him so that he could save others. And I reflect on that story, and I just think that this is a story that shows that these are people who are living what Paul said, and when he said, "Be worthy of the calling, live a life that is worthy of the calling that you have received." And I know that my family and the flourishing that we experience is really only a product because of people being obedient to the Lord. And so I see the story, and I hold it up against the Bible, and I see the two come together into the story that this is God's kingdom coming in my own family's life, that this is a flourishing that God desires for all of his people, and because of the obedience of his people, God's people being his people, that my family got to experience that. And I was asked here to share the testimony of my family, and I hope I'm not overstepping that invitation, but when I think about what this church can do and what the invitation can be for us in this moment, I think there's a similar opportunity, that there's a flourishing that the Lord desires for his people. And he invites us to be a part of that. And it's because of the people that knew the Lord and loved him and sought to build his kingdom that I get to be here and that my family gets to live a life that I recognize is flourishing. And so I just invite us to think about that and to see it in a big vision. that there was something that the Catholic Church did that was big, that the church that God's people did that was big, that had a big vision of what it was, what it meant to care for the sojourner. And I invite us to do the same, to think in that same way, that if the Lord is here offering what I understand to be the hope of humanity, that we think of this opportunity in that same light, that this is an opportunity to share the hope of humanity so that the flourishing can continue, not just into this church, but then through it, and that it can flow through it. So I thank you for the opportunity to share about my family. And I know my understanding is that Refugee One is gonna teach us more about the opportunities, about how we can let that flourishing and move through into other people. And so I invite you to please join afterward to learn from everything that they have to share.
I just want to say thank you again to all of you for sharing. And it's just amazing to hear. I think it's one of the powerful things about testimony is that it is through the testimony of our brothers and sisters that we hear about how God is moving in the lives of people around us. God is ever present, and we do have an amazing opportunity. And so in this season, I just invite us as a congregation to prayer and to vision big about how we can utilize the resources that we have, financial resources, people resources, our building in a way that just honors God's desire to see his people flourish, to see his people be whole, to see his sons and daughters cared for, because we all have something to offer to that. And so I pray that we, even as individuals, as we come together as a community, you know, be asking ourselves, what place do I have in this vision? What place do I have as we continue to just look for opportunities to serve? And so once again, I'm thankful for our community engagement team, for Sister Lucy Oliver, and for all of those who have a heart to start asking questions. But again, like those questions that I believe are leading us to action. And so just want to say thank you and invite you to make sure you go to, I know we have two things happening the day after service. There is the baptismal and dedication information piece, and then, but there's also the Refugee One presentation. And so I invite you to figure out where you fit this afternoon, and be very intentional about just kind of joining one of the opportunities this afternoon. I'm going to pray and then invite us back into a time of worship. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for once again bringing us into this space. Thank you for the stories that we have heard. Thank you for just the ways that you protected, guided, watched over your sons and daughters, Lord. We just say thank you for the opportunity to hear these stories, Lord. And I pray that they don't fall on deaf ears, Lord. But we really believe that right now your Holy Spirit is working in our hearts and in our minds to live into the call that we have as a church. And so again, Lord, we just say thank you. We lift you up. And we're reminded that your word says that if we simply lift you up, you will draw all men and women to you, Lord. And so we just pray that in everything that we do, everything that we say, every action, that we are just lifting you up so that those who have not been touched by the message of the gospel will see you first and foremost and be drawn to your love. And it's in these things that we pray, your son Jesus' name, amen.